It's really important that we take time to reflect on God's character and also to thank him for all he has done in our lives individually, but certainly in our life collectively as a congregation. And so we just want to point all glory to God for all that he's done. And so I'd like to just thank him for that through prayer right now. Would you join me? God, we pause us right now to remember who you are, to tell you that we love you because of your character, because of the ways that you've revealed yourself to us, as well as the ways that you've worked in our lives individually and certainly collectively, God. God, I praise you for the lives that have been changed. I thank you for the people who have stepped across the line of faith by declaring Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I thank you for the ways that I've seen their lives transformed even in a short amount of time. God, I thank you for those who have found community, found a place that they belong, and people who know them and love them and care for them, and they're able to return that to others because of this place. God, I thank you for the ways that us tucked into this small little corner of Southwest Indiana has had an opportunity not just to do good in the name of Jesus in this community and to care for people the way that you've allowed us to, but also literally halfway around the world, God. I thank you for the good things that you're doing. Ask that you would continue those things. God, would you be glorified in the way that we live our lives, the way that we show your love to others? God, I pray that the days in front, Lord, would be filled with many more opportunities where people can see who you are and how you are at work in their lives as you work through us. And we pray to that end through the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a young man who grew up here at Crossroads. He actually met his wife here at Crossroads. They met each other when they were, I think, in middle school. And they both went away to college and then returned here. He began his teaching career as an elementary student. And while they were here, they began a family. They have two young children, one more on the way. And recently, this young man had a decision to make. The elementary school where he teaches, they had a spirit week. And part of that spirit week, one day was a day where all the school was invited to wear their favorite t-shirt. Now, because this guy's a rabid sports enthusiast, he had a lot of options in his closet. If he would have known IU football was doing so well this season, he might have wore something that said Hoosiers on the front, right? He also, because he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan, they were not having that great of season. He knew they were nowhere going to be in the playoff. He could have chosen something to wear that said St. Louis Cardinals. He actually last year got a chance to go see the Masters, a couple of early rounds, and he picked up some swag there in the golf pro shop. He could have wore something with that Masters emblem on it, but because he's engaged here as a volunteer in many different ways at Crossroads, he came to the volunteer celebration we had back in August, and he received a t-shirt. It's much like the one I'm wearing right now that has the vision of Crossroads plastered on the front, live and love like Jesus. And so he contemplated the ramifications of wearing that shirt, being a teacher in a public school, but knowing that the administrator in his building was a godly Christian woman, he decided to choose that as his shirt. And so that morning he showed up with his favorite t-shirt on, his Live and Love Like Jesus t-shirt. The very first thing that happened that day in classroom was every person in the class was able to share why they chose their specific t-shirt. So all the kids in his classroom said why they wore their shirt. And he had an opportunity to say, like, I wore this shirt because the church I go to believes that we should all live and love like Jesus. And then he said, I don't do that because the church says that. I do that because of who Jesus is in my life, and I want to honor him in everything that I do. And then he jumped into the math lesson of the day, and that was long division. He was teaching fourth graders long division. If you think you have a bad day at work someday, try teaching long division to fourth graders, right? And so as he was teaching, he noticed that one of the students in his class was having a conversation. This young girl in his class is actually deaf. And the way he knew she was having a conversation is she was actually talking with the interpreter that follows her everywhere so that she can participate in school and be in a typical classroom. And he could literally see them conversing because they were using sign language. After the math lesson, this interpreter came up to the teacher's desk, and he thought maybe the girl was really struggling to comprehend long division. And so when he asked the interpreter if there was something the student needed, the interpreter said, oh, we weren't talking a thing about math that whole time. She wants to know who that Jesus person is that you have on your t-shirt. Here was a fourth grader right here in our own community who really had no way to define who the person of Jesus was. In fact, she had really never heard of him. The interpreter, who happens to be a Christ follower who attends another local congregation here in town, took the time to share with that little girl who Jesus is. And she made a statement, if Jesus is the way for me to go to heaven, I want to know who Jesus is. And I don't have all the rest of the story to share with you today, but what I do know is there are two people who know exactly what the mission of God's church is. That's to help people know who Jesus is. In fact, that's the marching orders of our church, our congregation, Crossroads Christian Church. As you heard earlier, today is Vision Sunday. It's just an annual opportunity for us to remember why we do this, who our leader is, and what his marching orders are. And we know that Jesus gave the marching orders for his church that were recorded by Matthew, one of his first followers. And he recorded the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, when he said this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age." That, my friends, is the mission of God's church, and we are part of it, along with all the other followers of Jesus who claim him as Lord and Savior. God's given us a picture here at Crossroads as a specific congregation that can help make disciples of all nations. It's by living and loving like Jesus. While that can seem just like a trite, simple catchphrase to some, it's actually the marching orders that we receive to be followers of Jesus. John, who was one of the first people that Jesus invited to follow him, said these words in a letter to the followers of Jesus he was writing to. He says that we know that we've come to know him, meaning God, if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live like Jesus did. We continue to help every person who calls Crossroads home to be equipped to live and love like Jesus by fleshing out what that means. It means nurturing a deep, intimate relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. It means living in deep community with each other, and it means joining God's mission by serving him and others using the gifts that God's given us. We've said that simply as being with God, being with others, and being sent. And I wanted to let you know, we're going to continue to provide practical action steps as well as resources for all of us to live in love like Jesus. Over the past 12 months, we've been working on some things, I would call it behind the scenes. I've never shared publicly what I'm getting ready to share with you, four overarching values that we've determined as a staff and leadership that guide what we do and how we do it. Now, behind the scenes, we've actually been trying to live these values out. They're baked into our staff development, our evaluation process. They're things we talk about as a staff on a regular basis, and they've been littered into sermons and announcement blocks all throughout this year. But we deliberately made a choice that we wanted to live these things before we talked about it or plastered them on the wall anywhere. Well, today I want to share with you four values that we're trying to live by as a congregation that helps guide us as we live in love like Jesus. And the first one is this. We want to be kingdom-minded like Jesus. What that means is we strive to bring God's kingdom to earth as we serve and minister here locally, nationally, or even globally. We want to magnify the name of Jesus rather than any individual or any church body. We seek first the kingdom of God. And we aren't concerned about putting the Crossroads logo on everything that we do, but instead, we want to lift up Jesus so that he will draw all people to himself. We want to shepherd like Jesus, which means we want to offer loving care for all those that God has entrusted to us, regardless whether they are male or female, whether they're what their race, their ability, their culture, their education, or even their status. We want to listen, we want to view, we want to love people the way Jesus does. We want to lay down our life for others. We want to manage the tension between what it means to care for the 99 who are protected and safe and cared for, while also noticing and going looking for that one who might be wandering or even lost. That's what it means to shepherd like Jesus. We also want to equip and empower like Jesus. We're all called to do good works, to build up the body of Christ with maturity and unity. And we want to help each other find our place in God's mission to foster both of those. We're working harder and harder as a staff to get better at identifying ways for the body of Christ to lead and to serve and be equipped and empowered so that every person can use the gifts that God's given them to serve him and to serve others. Finally, we want to be generous like Jesus. We've all been blessed with time, with finances, with opportunities, even gifts, so that we can be a blessing to other people. We want to contribute more than consume. We want to do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. We want to faithfully steward what we've been given. And stewarding involves sharing, not hoarding. This describes who we are, or maybe better said, who we want to be, because we know that we haven't arrived yet, which means these are aspirational values that compel us to let the Holy Spirit continue to do his work in our hearts and in our lives. These values do also define what we do and how we do it as we continue to live and love like Jesus. We've also noticed a growing tension that seems to continue about how to clarify what it means to be part of God's mission and vision that he has given us. The tension seems to lie around, what does it look like when this vision is living out? And so we ask ourselves a question, what is the fruit of living and loving like Jesus as we live this vision out individually as well as collectively? Over the past 5 months, our elders have been going through a process. It's a coaching process with a coach to really identify some tangible outcomes to the vision that God has given us. And something that we have found helpful in this process is an image, and that's the image of a tree. You'll find that image in the bulletin this morning, and if you don't have a copy of that, just pull out something to write on and draw you a stick tree. Not a stick person, but a stick tree. Got the idea? We've asked ourselves, what would be the fruit that grows on this tree if we are all living and loving like Jesus individually and collectively? And today I want to share with you 4 vision outcomes that identify the fruit that we hope to see in the days in front. The first one is this. We want to become a vibrant community of worshipers making Jesus known. A vibrant community of worshipers making Jesus known. All throughout Scripture, we are called and commanded to worship and love God for who he is and for all that he's done. It's not really optional. It's not something that we can choose to do or not. Worship is certainly not just singing. And worship is not just something that we do between 9 and noon on Sunday mornings. It's not just something that's good for just you and God to be involved with only. Worship is our response to God for who he is and all he's done. And we direct our praise to him out of adoration for his character and his work. We also express our gratitude to him for all that he is doing in us and through us. And we do that by telling him what we love him about him. We do that by singing songs to him sometimes. But most importantly, we do that by living lives that glorify his character and amplify his work. We do this individually and we do this collectively. Jesus told a woman that he met by a well in Samaria. It's recorded by John in John chapter 4. Jesus told her, God is desiring of worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I think Paul kind of unpacks what that looks like in a letter he wrote to the Romans. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Paul says that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, that this is our spiritual act of worship. If you and I are going to become a vibrant community of worshipers making Jesus known, it's going to require us to have a clear biblical understanding of what worship truly is. It's going to recognize that worship is transformational. It changes who we are. We cannot come into the presence of God Almighty and stay the same. It also has a deep impact on those around us. I love a moment in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about what it looks like to truly worship in spirit and in truth. He's given lots of specifics. And then he describes this situation. He says, if someone comes into your worship gatherings who does not know Jesus, who's not a follower or believer in God, and they see you worshiping, they will be cut to the heart. They will be convicted of the sin that they are committing. And they will bow down and begin to worship. And they will exclaim, truly God is among you. What a powerful picture of what can happen when we're truly worshiping in spirit and truth. I pray that that's happening here this morning. For somebody who might be here for the very first time, that they would get a clear picture of who God is and how much he loves them by the way that we're worshiping our God together. In the days in front, we want to see a deeper, more engaged, consistent engagement in worship, especially made up of a group of people from all different ethnicities, all different socioeconomic statuses, both genders. The ages will reflect a wide dynamic of ranges. There'll be people who are all here who reflect God's character and work in and through our lives. We also want to celebrate all that God is doing in our lives and through his church. We're going to begin 2025 with a teaching series that talks about the heart of worship. And throughout the year and years to come, we want to continue to offer you a variety of ways that you can express your love and devotion and adoration to God, both individually and collectively. We want to equip people to worship God through the way that they live and the way that they do their work, so that everything in our lives is to the glory of God. A second piece of fruit we hope to see is that we become biblically rooted, resilient families. Biblically rooted, resilient families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses was sharing God's heart and commands with the people of Israel. And he said this: know who God is. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And teach his commands to your children so that they may go well with you, with them and their children. That's the PSV, the Phil Simplified Version. But it's very clear all throughout Scripture that the family is the primary source of spiritual formation. God's ordained the family to help all of us know him and live lives that glorify him. And we are all part of a family, every one of us. All of us in this room are either a son or a daughter. Many of us in this room are husbands and wives. Many of us might be brothers and sisters. Some might be dads or moms, even grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins. The Bible addresses the roles and responsibilities we all have as part of a family. And we want to do a better job equipping families to understand these roles and live these out well. You know, we live in a time where the family has been under attack. Family has been redefined, it's been divided, and the result is dysfunction. I wish that the statistics that compared how people who follow Jesus live in families, contrasted with those who don't claim any spiritual foundation, were drastically different. But actually, they're not. They're almost unable to tell the difference between the two groups. My friends, we have a lot of work to do if we want to understand and live out not just God's design, but also his desire for how the family functions and the spiritual nourishment that can come from those that we're in a nuclear family with. We have work to do, but we want to help every person, whether you're single or married, whether you have children or don't, whether you're raising your grandkids, maybe you're fostering someone else's kids, maybe you have experienced all kinds of hurt, trouble, and trauma from your family. We want to do and take a collective responsibility for families to remain spiritually strong all throughout the seasons of life, from the cradle to the grave, and help address some of the tripping points that I see sometimes in life's journey. There's a tripping point that seems to happen when a kid finishes fifth grade and heads into middle school. It seems to be a time where they begin to question things, even of faith that they have taken as truth from the earliest of ages. Seems to be another tripping point when a kid goes into high school or maybe exits high school. And they begin to think about like the independence they have. And that kind of spreads its roots into things that maybe are contrary to what they've been taught all their life through the church and through their godly family. There seems to be a tripping point when young adults have to determine what they're going to do with the rest of their life. That tripping point can also happen when young couples have their first child or when all the kids move out of the house. Or when you retire from your day job. All those are times where we can become disconnected and also really distracted by the things of this world. It can become a time of stagnation in our spiritual journey. We want to see families remain strong. We want to do a better job by offering teaching opportunities, retreats, and seminars. We want to come alongside families that are struggling so that they would all be equipped to worship as well as serve God together. We want to challenge families to engage in God's word together, to pray together, and even to develop a deeper concern for those who don't know Jesus as Savior yet. For those of us who do know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I don't want you to ever forget that regardless how well your earthly family experience may have been, you're part of a spiritual family. When you claim Jesus as Savior, you're adopted by God, your Heavenly Father. And the whole New Testament has a whole lot to say about how you and I, as part of God's family, can strengthen each other, help each other be formed into the image of Jesus, and provide support and admonition as well as accountability in the process. May it be true of all of us what Joshua said about his family in the Old Testament. You choose for yourself who you're going to follow. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a third piece of fruit that we hope to see, and that's intentionality in the way that we develop disciples and leaders. I hope that you can tell by the vision and mission that I've shared with you today that we take multiplying disciples, making disciples, really seriously. What you might not realize is that following Jesus has never been separate from serving Jesus. It's not optional for anyone who calls Jesus Lord. For way too long, people have assumed that they can follow Jesus, but they really don't have to be part of his family business and help in the making of disciples by serving God and serving others. We learned last year as we focused on the word abide all throughout the year that when you read John 15, abiding produces fruit. And that fruit is the character of Christ being formed in us, as well as us following after Jesus, especially in the way he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. So we want to continue to help people find their next steps in their faith journey. We want to see people come to the decision to follow Jesus and for that decision not to end when they get dunked over there in that water. We've been implementing a process over the past several months this year to come alongside people who've made the decision to follow Jesus, to be baptized, and to continue on with them as they find engagement here in this congregation, to a place where they can grow and even a place where they can serve. I've always felt like you can't grow without serving, and you certainly can't serve without growing. So we want to do a better job in the future of helping people, every person who calls Crossroads home, find a place where they belong, a place where they can grow, and also a place where they can serve. Earlier this year, we counted that there were over 700 people who are currently serving in some way here as part of Crossroads Christian Church. And we invited all those 700 to a little party out at the Bauer House. And there we just celebrated what God's doing among our church family. In fact, we gave everybody a shirt just like this, a Live and Love Like Jesus t-shirt. And if you're part of that 700, you're currently serving somewhere, but you didn't get to that event or receive your t-shirt, we still have some of those left over in the atrium, and we want to present that to you today to say thank you for the way that you are serving. And if you're the other 700% who aren't, our 700 people who aren't currently serving in some way, let me just tell you that the opportunities are great and the purpose is large and the mission needs you. Recently, we polled people here in our congregation through a survey. It was asking them to give some feedback on how we were doing in group life. What we found out is, based on the survey, about 50% of our congregation is involved in a small group, and the other 50% are not. And let me just say to those of you who aren't, that's not good enough for us. You're missing out. What's best for you is to be in a place where you can be known and loved and cared for. And so for you not being in a group is not good for us. Meaning we can't live with that reality. And so in the days in front, we're going to continue to find ways, some easier on-ramps for you to experience community so that you can be part of a place where you're known and loved, a place where you can know and love others. We also found out about 29% of our congregation feels like we're being helpful in taking their next spiritual steps. And so that's obviously not acceptable. We want to do a better job to come alongside every person in their faith journey and be clear about what some next steps are and how to take those and support and encourage those steps along the way. We have a teaching series planned in the middle of 2025 to really address how we walk through the ups and downs and the twists and turns of life. We want to come alongside people who are struggling in some way with the hurts in life, and we want to offer hope. And that's not just for those who call Crossroads home now, but also any in our community. Here's what we know. Growth requires vulnerability. It requires transparency. And we want to walk through life together in a Christ-centered community, offer support and accountability to each other as we're intentional about growing disciples and developing leaders. Finally, the fourth fruit that I want to mention today is this. We want to see servant-led kingdom impact in local and global communities. Our call to serve leads us to places that we may never have chosen, and to people who need God's love and care, whether that's here in our community or literally halfway across the world. As we continue to engage in God's mission and join him in what he's doing in the world today, we want to continue to deepen our investment and engagement in addressing the most pressing needs in our community and the world as we express God's love in tangible ways, as well as declare the gospel in the same. And this requires learning, not just doing. I'm really excited that after a long hiatus due to COVID, we're now onboarding and offering opportunities to go and to invest and to serve in places that we've been investing for many years, whether that's right here in our own community or literally around the world. And these opportunities will give us the opportunity, give us the chance to express the gospel and the good news in very tangible ways. We want to continue to grow in our diversity as a congregation, and that means being a place where both genders, all races, people of all abilities, people who have all kinds of variety of cultural backgrounds and levels of education and socioeconomic statuses, where they're welcome here, as well as equipped to live and love like Jesus. We want to see a growing number of people who call Crossroads home step up and engage in partnership with our trusted partners that we do ministry outside these walls with. And also go with us as we explore new frontiers, new opportunities where we can take the gospel to places that it hasn't been yet. All the while, equipping you to minister to people within your own neighborhoods, within your own schools, workplaces, in this community. Something I'm really excited about that we're doing right now is we're taking a study of every person who lives within a 15-mile drive radius of Crossroads Christian Church to learn who these people are. Who are the people that live right here around this church building, and what are their felt needs? And the reason we're doing that is we want to better understand what the fields that are white for harvest look like. Shame on us if we can go to the south end of our community or halfway around the world and miss the people who are literally living right across the street who don't know Jesus yet or just need somebody to offer a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, or a hand to help or help up. That's what the days in front look like as we think about being servant-led and think about kingdom impact that can happen right here in this community and literally all over the world. Unlike the vision that we've shared in the past years on Vision Sunday, this vision today, these four vision outcomes are not necessarily just thought about in the next 12 months or for the next 12 months, but really are a picture of where we're going and where God is leading us as a congregation over the next several years. Each outcome provides a strong foundation for ministry strategy and initiatives that are being created by staff and even better by leaders right here from our own congregation. All in the spirit of experimentation. In the days in front, we want to do better at trying to move the needle by trying things that maybe we've never tried before so that we can see all four of these outcomes become more of a reality. Clear measures, ways to monitor and also celebrate the progress are being established, and those will be communicated along the way. In fact, right now, all four outcomes that I've just mentioned today and these metrics I've just referred to, you can take a look at those. They're not secret. They're not some special knowledge from behind the scenes. They're available to you. You can find them, the place we send you for all follow-up to messages. cccgo.com/info. Click on Sermon Resources. You can see a description of all four of these outcomes. You can see the biblical basis for all of them, as well as you can see the metrics that we're using to hold ourselves accountable to living these four outcomes out. I wanted to share them with you today so that all of us together could do a couple things. And the first thing is this: pray. We all need to seek God's wisdom and help to see these outcomes fulfilled, for his mission to be fulfilled, for us to live out this vision he's given us. As we create strategies and we implement these initiatives toward these outcomes in, we need God's help, And we want to thank him and praise him for all that he does along the way. The second thing we can all do is engage. This is work that he's called all of us to, not just a few, not just the paid folk around here, not just for a special or a few chosen people, but for all of us. And it's time for all of us to step up and lock arms as we seek to see God's kingdom come here to earth, to accomplish his work in our lives and through our lives. And if you're ready to just jump into that, I would highly encourage you next Sunday, December the 1st, we have our first of the four-week series, Connect at Crossroads. It's an opportunity for you to see what God is doing here and more importantly, figure out how you can be part of it. It's a free class. It meets at 10:30. You could come just a little bit early for the 11 o'clock worship gathering and be a part of Connect at Crossroads. You can find information at our website, cccgo.com/info. The final thing I'd encourage you to do is respond. I would appreciate hearing from you some feedback on maybe which one of these outcomes really resonates with your heart. Maybe you have some questions that I haven't addressed today. I'd love to hear what those are. And most importantly, I'd love for you to be able to share with me, like, where do you see the gifts that God has given you plug into one of these four outcomes? There's a way for you to respond. You can do that by texting the word VISION to 812-858-8668, or you can scan this QR code. It'll take you right there to a quick three-question response. You can let me know who you are and some feedback on all three of those things. Here's the reality. There's more than just one little fourth grade girl in our community who needs to know who Jesus is. And God has commissioned all of us in this room who know Jesus as Lord and Savior to tell them. And the best way that we can do that is by the way that we live and by the way that we love. As you and I go about positioning our life and centering everything about our life, the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we act, our motivations, all of our desires, we focus that on the one who has saved us and who is our boss, our master, our Lord. When we live like that, when we love like that, what happens is we become a vibrant community of people who are worshiping and who are making Jesus known. Our families become biblically rooted and resilient no matter what the world would throw at us in this culture. We become a place very intentional about helping people follow Jesus as disciples and be people of influence as leaders and people who are making a difference in the world around us. And we see servant-led kingdom impact happening both here locally and literally all across the world because of what God is doing in us and through us. It's all by his help and it's all for his glory. And I want to pray to that end right now. Would you join me? God, we're tired of playing church. God, we're tired of showing up here between 9 and noon on Sunday just for something to do before or after breakfast. God, we're tired of playing games. God, we're grateful for the past, the 57 years of faithfulness that you have seen happen within this place called Crossroads Christian Church, among this group of people. But God, it's not the past that we're celebrating today. It's the future that we're focused on, of how more people can come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ through the gospel that we boldly proclaim through our words and through our actions, by the way that we live and by the way that we love. Oh God, we need your help. We need your help to move past just mediocrity or to just be content with just stagnation, God. Would you help us to yearn for your word and for your spirit and his work in our lives so that we would be conformed more and more into the image of Jesus and so that that would be a light to a dark world, hope to a group of people who don't know where to turn, and also a help to anybody who's in need. And that would all be because of God, who you are and what you've done in our life and what you're doing through us individually and collectively. God, we pray. We ask for your help, and we want to glorify you in the process, for you to receive all the glory for every good thing that happens. We pray to that end through the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.